RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian government to curb tap in disbursement of rural fund. Effort to stabilize economy by inviting foreign investors. Visas for Hajj pilgrims are ready. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said the regulation of the disbursement of rural development fund would be simplified, he said after meeting with President Joko Widodo in Jakarta on Tuesday. He said the disbursement of the 20.7 trillion rupiah rural fund could accelerate rural development and improve the purchasing power of the people. He said in a joint decision of three ministers, Minister Finance, Hunt Affairs Minister, and Rural and Backward Area Development Minister, on the disbursement of the fund for 74,093 villages this year. The largest share of the fund is for Central Java, followed by East Java and Aceh. Minister for Rural and Backward Area Development and Transmigration, Marwan Jafar, said that his office sought to harmonize regulation to speed up the disbursement of the fund. He said there are regulations that need to be harmonized through the joint ministerial decision. He said he hopes that this week the entire rural fund could be disbursed. Indonesian economic situation at the beginning of the second half is slowing down due to the influence of the global economy. This makes foreign investors who invest in Indonesia withdraw their funds from the market, so that a number of companies began to be affected. Whereas Indonesia is currently in need of quite large foreign investment funds, especially to help the development of infrastructure projects that were undertaken by the government. Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution at a meeting with the Budget Committee of the House of Representatives DPR in Jakarta on Tuesday said that Indonesia could invite bad investor by inviting the related countries.
Fluktuasi akan bisa saja terjadi, tapi ya mestinya
economic fluctuation could happen anytime. What should be done by the government? Firstly, how to invite the funds from abroad by taking some efforts such as money loan or inviting investor open new market or making cooperation. In addition, Minister of Economy Darwin Nasution also hoped that the development activities would run smoothly. According to him, grant for capital expenditure is badly needed. Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin has said that his minister has finished arranging all the visas for the 155,200 Indonesians who will perform the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca. It was stated by Minister Lukman on Tuesday, quoted by Jakarta Post. A number of pilgrims have to delay their departure to Mecca because the Saudi Arabian embassy had not issued their visas. Minister Lukman said his ministry experienced many technical problems while making preparations for the Indonesian pilgrims to depart to Saudi Arabia, particularly with respect to entering data in the electronic Hajj pilgrimage. The Hajj system, which was rolled out by the Saudi Arabian government, he promised to have better preparation next year. Indonesian government through the Minister of Foreign Affairs for the first time organized a national symposium on business and human rights on September 8, 2015 in Jakarta. Related stakeholders such as the Minister of Justice and Human Rights, the Coordinating Minister for Economy Affairs, the ASEAN Secretariat, the Indonesian Employer Association, the Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection, the Minister of Industry, the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, multinational businesses as well as micro, small and medium enterprises and civil society were invited to the symposium. Director of Human Rights and Humanitarian Affairs of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Deki Komar, in an interview with Aerial Service in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that the purpose of the symposium on business and human rights is to increase the public knowledge and understanding of the basic principle of human rights in business practice in Indonesia.
Jadi kita pada dasarnya ingin lebih pada meningkatkan.
So we basically intend to improve knowledge, understanding, and commitment, if possible. How the human right principle could be mainstreamed in the related policies, not only in the operation but also the plan for the operation, including the evaluation of business practices in Indonesia. That was the main purpose. Furthermore, Deki Komar said the National Symposium on Business and Human Rights also aims at creating understanding among the stakeholders so that the government and businesses could guarantee the respect for human rights in business. The National Symposium on Business and Human Rights is expected to generate input and recommendation on some obstacles and challenges as well as the efforts to strengthen the policy and mechanism related to the implementation of the United Nations Guiding Principle on Business Human Rights in Indonesia. The Indonesian Minister of Transportation stated that the high-speed rail has been included in the master plan of the National Railway Program in 2030. Based on the plan, the destination will be for Jakarta-Surabaya. It was stated by the Transportation Minister Railway Transportation Director General Hermanto Dwiatmoko in Jakarta on Tuesday. On our National Railway Master Plan for 2030, there is a program for Jakarta-Surabaya because the high-speed rail is more efficient for long distance. Jakarta-Surabaya is about 700 kilometers. It would be fast enough. If the speed 300 kilometers per hour takes 2.5 hours, it can run directly to Surabaya or via Bandung as well as through the North Lane. Hermanto added that the high-speed rail from Jakarta to Surabaya is more efficient than from Jakarta to Bandung. According to him, it is because of Jakarta-Bandung road has several stations and the train must stop in each station before the maximum speed is reached. High-speed rail is between 300 to 350 km per hour, while Jakarta-Bandung is only 150 km. Hermanto added that China and Japan have submitted a proposal for this high-speed rail. In its proposal, China applies for the funding of 70 trillion rupiah at the interest rate of 2% in the next 20 years, while Japan proposed 60 trillion rupiah at 0.1% in 40 years. Indonesia is investigating 10 firms over worsening forest fires that have created a blanket of smoke over Southeast Asia, threatening them with sanctions if they are found responsible. The thick haze from Indonesian Sumatra and Kalimantan Islands has forced the repeated cancellation of flights in the area and pushed air quality to unhealthy levels in neighboring Singapore and Malaysia. Environment Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar said companies could face sanctions if found violating their permits. While the legal process is going on in parallel, there has to be a decision or act taken on the company's permit. Sanctions range from written warning to a fine to revoking a firm's permit. The minister named only one of the 10 firms under investigation, a small private company called Tempirai Palm Resources. The hippie smoke from slash and burnt clearances often comes from the islands of Sumatra and Kalimantan, where large forest concessions are used by pulp and paper and palm oil companies, some of which are listed in Singapore. The last item, Indonesian film entitled Sendiri Diana Sendiri Following Diana, which is directed by Camila Andini, had passed the selection phase for the 40th Toronto International Film Festival. The festival that features short films in its short cut session will be held starting from September 10 to 20th. Film director Gary Nugroho said a press release that the film is about women. It is started from questions that are answered with films. The film is one of the three films born from collaboration between Babi Buta Film, Hippos Asia Hub, and Citra Citra Foundation Indonesia in a film project entitled Experience Humanity. The other two films entitled The Fox Exploits, The Tiger's Might, and Kisah Cinta Yang Asu are each featured at 2015 Festival Cannes and Wide Angle Program at Busan International Film. Camila Andini had previously backed a number of awards from the Tokyo International Film Festival, 2012 Hong Kong International Film Festival, and 2013 Asia Pacific Screen Awards. That's news. Thanks for listening. South Korea and North Korea agree family reunion. On Tuesday, September 8, 2015, North Korea and South Korea agreed to hold a family reunion. According to the plan, next month the families separated by the Korean War in 1950s would be able to meet again. About 100 people who are very old in both countries will meet in October 20 until 26. The location has been set in the resort area of Mount Kungan, North Korea. The reunion program between North and South Korea has begun since 2000. Initially, the event was scheduled to be held every year. However, because the relationship between the two countries was sometimes in tense condition again, just one reunion was carried out in the last 5 years. Millions of people had been separated from their families after Korea was split into two by war. Most of them have never met again with their family members until they died. During the quiet period with tension, around 22,500 people in the two countries have enjoyed a brief reunion. 8,000 of them met physically, while some met only via video. None of them got a second chance to enjoy the reunion. In fact, there are still about 60,000 people in the waiting list. Most of them are much older than 80 years with their worsening health condition. The Tuesday agreement is certainly very delighting for both country citizens. However, based on experience, no guarantee of the reunion this time would be actually materialized. Several times, North Korea, for some reasons, canceled the scheduled reunion. In 2013, for example, the reunion was canceled at the last minute as North Korea angrily accused South Korean government as soon to overthrow the ruling power in North Korea. In the meantime, the reunion to be scheduled to take place next month is coincided with the anniversary of the ruling Communist Party in North Korea, namely 10th of October. It has been reported that at the celebration, North Korea will launch a satellite. This plan forces international concern because according to South Korea and other neighboring countries, North Korea would actually launch a long-distance weapon, not a satellite. If this news is true, North Korea's reaction, of course, can disrupt or even cancel a planned family reunion that has been eagerly awaited by the elderly in the both countries. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. The Indonesian National Sport Day is commemorated on September 9th.
The National Sport Day celebrated annually on 9th of September because on the 9th of September was held the National Games or PON 1. It is the first Indonesian National Sports Week held in Surakarta from September 9 to 12, 1948. The first PON, officially opened by the first President of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, and closing events conducted by Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX as the Indonesian Olympic Committee Chairman. PON bring the mission to show the outside world that the Indonesian may still prove that it is able to hold a sport event with a national scale. In addition, PON also has a mission to build up the spirit of unity because sport is a universal language that always can unite everyone with a variety of backgrounds. The first National Sport Weeks was attended by around 600 athletes competing in 9 sports, namely athletics, disc throwing, badminton, football, tennis, swimming, martial art, archery, and basketball. On September 9, 1948, Kim Il-sung officially inaugurates the People's Republic of Democratic of Korea. On August 15, 1948, the Republic of Korea was formally established with Syngman Rhee as the first president. With the establishment of Rhee's government, the jure sovereignty also passed into the new government. On September 9, 1948, a communist regime, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea or North Korea, was proclaimed under Kim Il-sung. However, on December 12, 1948, by its resolution 195 in the Third General Assembly, the United Nations recognized the Republic of Korea as the sole legal government of Korea. In 1946, the North implemented land reforms by confiscating private property, Japanese and pro-Japanese owned facilities and factories, and placed them under state ownership. Demand for land reform in the South grew strong, and it was eventually enacted in June 1949. Koreans with large land holdings were obliged to divest most of their land. Approximately 40% of total farm households became small landowners. However, because preemptive rights were given to people who had ties with landowners before liberation, many pro-Japanese groups obtained or retained properties. On September 9, 2004, car bomb explosive in front of Australian Embassy in Jakarta. Bombing in front of Australian Embassy in 2004, or so-called Kuningan bombing, occurred on September 9, 2004 in Jakarta. This is the third terrorism act directed to Australia that happened in Indonesia after the 2002 Bali bombings and the bombing of J.W. Marriott in 2003. The car bomb exploded in front of the Australian Embassy at 10:30 West Indonesia time in Kuningan, Jakarta. The death toll, according to the Indonesian side, has identified 9 people, but the Australians called 11. No Australians who died in this incident. Some of the buildings around the scene were also damaged. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome back to Voice Green. Today's edition features Norway support Indonesian forest and environment management.
Focus, daily news and events.
Indonesia-Norway cooperation on emission reduction from deforestation and forest degradation received full support from the Indonesian government, parliament, and international non-governmental organization of Norway. The support was reflected from the result of 3-day visit of Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry Siti Nurbaya to Oslo, Norway on September 3rd to 5th, 2015. As reported by Antara, during series of meetings in Norway, Minister Siti Nurbaya was accompanied by President Special Envoy on Climate Change Rahmat Witular, Indonesian Ambassador to Norway Juwono Putranto, Climate Change Director General of Environment and Forestry Ministry Nur Masripatin, Director of West Europe Ministry of Foreign Affairs Agung Kurniadi, Planning Bureau Chief of Environment and Forestry Ministry Helmi Basalamah, and International Cooperation Chief of Environment and Forestry Ministry Sri Murni Ningtyas. Minister Siti Nurbaya said Norway really expected Indonesia's roles as strategic partner. Norway believed the partnership is able to bring big influence toward global agenda on emission reduction and climate change. This expectation was reflected from the marathon meetings of Minister Siti Nurbaya with Norwegian governments, including Climate and Environment Minister Tin Standoft, State Secretary of Foreign Affairs Ministry Tom Skogen, State Secretary of Climate and Environment Ministry Lars Andreas Lunde, Parliament's representatives, and several Oslo-based international NGOs. Before coming home, Minister Siti Nurbaya met with Forest and Environment Manager of Oslo City. She said Indonesia and Norway will show the international people that the partnership of the two countries can inspire the effort of emission reduction and climate change in global level. Furthermore, Minister Siti said her ministry will focus on the cooperation with Norway on 6 priorities. They are forest and peatlands fire management, people empowerment, conflict resolution, law enforcement and conformity, recognition and protection of customary law people, and socialization. Besides forestry, Minister Siti also deepened cooperation opportunities on environment, also encouraging cooperation that use Norway's innovation advancement, especially on the sustainable forest product increase and waste management. The people of Norway have high awareness on creating clean environment and waste sorting with advanced technology. The waste are processed into energy. The visit of Minister Siti Nurbaya to Norway was the follow-up of the bilateral meeting between Indonesian President Joko Widodo with Norwegian Prime Minister Erna Solberg in Jakarta last April. In the meeting, both state heads asserted that commitment to continue the cooperation on greenhouse gas emission reduction from deforestation and forest degradation. This cooperation is poured on the letter of intent last 2010. Listener, that was Voy Green. Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Wednesday, September 9th in Jakarta. We start from Kompas in its headline writes about 40,000 hectares land burned. The fire scorched more than 40,000 hectares of land in Jambi. A total of 33,000 hectares burnt peatland is predicted to continue to expand due to the slow handling. The burnt peat area extends almost 40-fold in the past 2 weeks. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia also writes about 10 companies alleged to be actors of fire. The riddle about the parties allegedly responsible for land and forest fire began to unfold. Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya Tuesday explained there are 10 companies are being investigated by a joint investigation from the Ministry of Environment and the Department of Plantation. if the 10 companies proved to burn the forest and land, it does not hesitate to impose sanctions. Republica, in its headline, writes about students affected haze starting overwhelmed. Smoke that blanketed Sumatra and Kalimantan increasingly disturbing learning activity on early education level to higher education. Junior high school lead teacher Haryadi said their students complain because their eyes sting. According to Haryadi, the current constraints the students not to wear masks. We conclude today's headline by taking a headline of Business Indonesia. The daily writes about finance sector and investment to be priority. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to convey policy package that is expected to simplify investment, increasing competitive value, as well as to help people's income and creating jobs. The policy package is the first part from four government packages to get around the global economic slowdown and recover investment climate in the country. Listener, that was headline of some national newspapers published today in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hear news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that the regulation of the disbursement of Rural Development Fund would be simplified. He said after a meeting with President Joko Widodo in Jakarta on Tuesday, he said the disbursement of the 20.7 trillion rural fund could be accelerate rural development and improve the purchasing power of the people. He said in a joint decision of three ministers, Finance Minister, Hun Affairs Minister, and Rural and Backward Area Development Minister on the disbursement of the fund for 74,093 villages this year. Indonesia's economic situation at the beginning of the second half is slowing down due to the influence of the global economy. This makes foreign investors who invest in Indonesia withdraw their funds from the market so that a number of companies began to be affected. Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin has said that his ministry has finished arranging all the visas for the 155,200 Indonesians who will perform the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca. Indonesian government through the Minister of Foreign Affairs for the first time organized a national symposium on business and human rights on September 8, 2015 in Jakarta. Related to stakeholders such as Minister of Justice and Human Rights, the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, the ASEAN Secretary at the Indonesian Employer Association, the Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection, the Minister of Industry, the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, multinational businesses as well as micro, small and medium enterprises and civil society were invited to the symposium. The Indonesian Minister of Transportation stated that the high-speed rail has been included in the master plan of the National Railway Program in 2030. Based on the plan, the destination will be Port Jakarta, Surabaya. Indonesia is investigating 10 firms overseen in forest fires that have created a blanket of smoke over Southeast Asia, threatening them with a sanction if they are found responsible. Indonesian fuel entitled Sendiri Diana Sendiri, which was directed by Camilla Andini, had passed the selection phase for the 40th Toronto International Film Festival. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Goa Regency in South Sulawesi Province to have a close look at Akadobulo tradition. Stay tuned.
Music.
listeners, some time ago, an annual big festivity was held at a shady village in Goa Regency, Sulawesi. The village is Tamalalang in Tamanyeleng, Barobong Subdistrict, Goa Regency. From Makassar, the capital city of the South Sulawesi province, the Regency is located around 10 kilometers. Every year, the local people celebrate the village anniversary called Atamutang with Akadobulo tradition or Eat Kadobulo, the local people typical side dish. For the local people, Akadobulo tradition has its own meaning, namely family gathering. And indeed, residents or relatives who live far outside the city or even outside the island came to Tamalalang to attend this event. Akadobulo tradition in Makassar language means food from bamboo. So, the side dish which is eaten on the celebration is cooked in a piece of bamboo. The mixture of glutinous rice and coconut milk, which is wrapped by banana leaf, is put into the bamboo. The 40-centimeter long bamboo tubes are cooked for about 3 hours until it is done. After that, the bamboo is cut to take the akadobulo out, which is cooked and are ready to eat with serunding or shredded coconut, which is fried with various ingredients. Akadobulo also becomes the main dish served by the villagers to the family, relatives, or guests who come to the house during the celebration of the village anniversary. Akadobulo tradition started in the King of Goa, the 9th era, namely Imatanre Karaing Manguntungi Tumaparesi Kalona, who was in the power from 1510 until 1546. The narration was written on scripts of the notes of the Kingdom of Goa called Lontara Bilang. The King of Goa, the 9th, ordered to construct the Somba Opu Fortress in 1525. At the time, the king asked the villages surrounding the area to participate in preparing the food for the workers. Tamalalang was one of the villages which has a distance around 1 km from Somba Opu. The residents of Tamalalang also made akadobulo to provide the food for the workers because akadobulo can be preserved for 2 until 3 days. Since that time, akadobulo becomes a tradition which sticks and is always celebrated by Tamalalang to celebrate the village anniversary after the harvest season. Listener, akadobulo tradition has been halted when Makassar War occurred in 1666 until the independence of Indonesia in 1945. Akadobulo tradition was held again after the Indonesian independence by the King of Goa the 36th and also the first regent of Goa Regency, Andi Ijo Dai Matawang Karaing Lalolang Sultan Aidudin. He asked akadobulo to be also linked with the anniversary of the Indonesian independence as a folk party. Since that time, akadobulo is always celebrated annually. Besides akadobulo, there are also various cultural attractions. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today about akadobulo. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, inviting you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Ke Salon Kecantikan, or in English, means to the beauty parlor. So, stay tuned. Listener, as usual, first we will introduce you to several vocabularies and expressions related to our topic. I will read them two times and you can repeat after me. Salon kecantikan. Salon kecantikan. Which means beauty parlor. Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi. Which means good morning. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means, can I help you? Potong, potong, which means, to cut. Rambut, rambut, which means, hair. Bisa, bisa, which means, can. Sebaiknya, sebaiknya, which means, should. Lebih dahulu, which means first. Siap, siap, which means ready. Gunting, gunting, which means scissor. Sisir, sisir, which means comb. Berapa sentimeter? Berapa sentimeter? Which means, how many centimeters? 20, 20, which means 20. Centimeter, centimeter, which means centimeter. Ruang facial, which means facial room. Baik, baik, which means all right. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Now, we will give you an example of conversation using the vocabularies and the phrases. The conversation is between Capster or A and Mrs. Maya or B. I will read the sentence twice and you can repeat after me. A. Selamat pagi, Bu. Selamat pagi, Bu. Which means, good morning, ma'am. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Which means, can I help you? B. Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi. Which means, good morning. Saya ingin facial dan potong rambut. Saya ingin facial dan potong rambut. Which means, I want to have facial and have my hair cut. Apakah bisa? Apakah bisa? Which means, can I? A. Bisa, Bu. Bisa, Bu. Which means, yes, sure, ma'am. Sebaiknya, Ibu facial dahulu, kemudian potong rambut. Sebaiknya, Ibu facial dahulu, kemudian potong rambut. Which means, you should have facial first, and then have your hair cut. B. Baiklah, saya sudah siap. Baiklah, saya sudah siap. Which means, okay, I'm ready. Hey, sebentar Bu, saya siapkan perlengkapan facial, gunting, dan sisir. Sebentar Bu, saya siapkan perlengkapan facial, gunting, dan sisir. Which means, wait a minute ma'am, I'll prepare the facial equipment, scissors, and comb. Berapa sentimeter rambut yang akan dipotong? Berapa sentimeter rambut yang akan dipotong? Which means, how many centimeters do you want to have your hair cut? B. Kira-kira 20 cm dan tolong dirapikan. Kira-kira 20 cm dan tolong dirapikan. Which means, about 20 cm. A. Baik, Bu. Baik, Bu. Which means, okay, ma'am. Silakan Ibu masuk ke ruang facial. Silakan Ibu masuk ke ruang facial. Which means, please come to the facial room. B. Baik, terima kasih. Baik, terima kasih. Which means, alright, thanks. Listeners, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening and we'll meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we introduce you to two Indonesian bands, namely Anata Band and Bengku Band. Let's see Anata Band first. Being a protector is a proud job, especially for men. To protect your loved ones could mean a recognition that is a philosophy of Anata Band, where all the personnel always protect each other to achieve the goal, with the hope Anata later can be a great band. It becomes the power for them to continue to produce good work of music. Well, dear listeners, let us listen to the first song of Anata Band entitled The Best or Yang Terbaik.
Ku inginkan pergi jauh, pergi dari kenyataan ini, untuk lupakan semua kenangan, kenangan terindah dalam hidupku. Ku pergi tinggalkannya. Yang terbaik untuk dirimu, untuk menjagamu, aku takkan bisa dan tak bisa. Aku tahu kau pilih dia, mungkin dia yang terbaik untukmu. Aku hanya bisa berdoa, cinta sejati takkan pernah pudar. Aku pergi tinggalkannya, karena ku bukanlah yang terbaik untukmu.
Jakarta band that presents with 10 songs in an album Cerita Kita. From 10 songs of the first album, Anata band presents dynamic character of music, but sometimes they softly dedicate the songs with catchy lyrics to touch emotion of the music lovers. The band consisted of 5 personnel, namely Anto the vocalist, Feby and Tria guitarist, Sansan bassist and Ivan the drummer. The name of Anata band is taken from Sanskrit language that means protector. The band was established in Bandung on September 10, 2007, by 3 friends, Anto, Feby, and Tria. A year later, Ivan joined in, followed by Sansan. Anata band promotes infinity pop music genre. Pop music combined with various musical elements such as rock, alternative, and ballads. They hope their music could be accepted by people, especially the music lovers in Indonesia. Their music is inspired by foreign bands such as U2, The Calling, Lifehouse, and Matchbox 20. To make their music composition, Anata band is assisted by Ayi, guitarist of Ekuti, as the music producer. The first single of Anata band, entitled Ill Feel, has been released and hopefully can initiate their presence. The song tells about disappointment of a man to his beloved girl who turned to another love. Listener, here is a song, Ill Feel, by Anata band.
Kepadamu ku ilfil, karena kau tak setia. Kini ku jadi ilfil, kepadamu ku ilfil, kepadamu ku ilfil, karena kau telah menduakanku. Kini ku jadi ilfil, kepadamu ku ilfil, kepadamu ku. Kini ku jadi ilfil kepadamu ku ilfil kepadamu ku ilfil karena kau telah menduakanku ilfil.
Dear listener, now it is turn to introduce you to Ben Kuban. Many new emerging bands with different types of music not make Ben Kuban discouraged. The band which was winner in KapanLagi.com band competition and leaven the country's music industry with their single Playboy. Ben Ku consisted of four personnel: Pari, vocalist; Rio, guitarist; Eric, bassist; and Judah, drummer. And for those who have long seen the Indonesian music industry, already know Pari, who used to be the band's first vocalist of Kotak Band. Talking about the song Playboy, Pari, who created this song, reveals that the debut single was deliberately taken from a true story. The single Playboy, then to be the main material of the first audio mixing in Indonesia, held by Big Knob in collaboration with DMF and KapanLagi.com. The name Ben Kuban begins from their composition, who called Listen to the One Song of My Band, or Ben Ku in Indonesian Bahasa, until eventually become Ben Ku. Listener, before we conclude today's music corner, let's listen to the next song, Playboy, by Ben Kuban. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Oh, kasihan, aku melihatmu berjuang untuk dekati aku. Sayangnya aku tahu siapa dirimu.
Takkan cukup dirimu berhenti menggoda semua wanita. Walau lima kekasih engkau miliki, percuma
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Cinta ini terbalas tanpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.